The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch. John producing and engineering the show on the other side of the glass. John, hope you had a great weekend. I know, were you working all weekend? Oh, yeah. He was on the other side of the glass Saturday and Sunday, but he's here today, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, the 29th of July, 2019. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The live line number, 790-2040. We begin the Monday on Buckmaster, as we have every Monday since we launched the radio project back in January of 2011. We kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off, our team of commentators this week. We have Bob Westerman with us, former chair of the Republican Party in Pima County, and Don Jorgensen is the former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Bob and Don, how are you gentlemen doing today? Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Thanks.
Things going well. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. I've got some exciting news about Moe and his gallery. Ask Moe and the team about the Buckmaster Collection going on sale soon. I know this is breaking news, folks. I put it out on Facebook yesterday. The Buckmaster Collection, at very fair prices for several, there's probably maybe 15 to 20 beautiful old prints and maps, all at least 100 to 150 years old from around the world. And here's the good news. All of the proceeds, all of my portion of the proceeds, will go to the Friends of Pima Animal Care.
That's fantastic.
Yep. So once we get it all up and running, all of the items will be at moesgallery.com on Facebook. They're cataloging everything. I dropped off the material on Saturday, so they're going to take pictures of everything, price it out. But the prices are going to be very reasonable. So it's going to be the Buckmaster Collection of antique prints and maps at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And soon, hopefully within a week or so, the team over there will have the pictures up on Facebook. So that's my big news, Don Jorgensen.
That's impressive. When you were describing it, I thought, did you collect these yourself as originals? But I know you've been around a while, but not that long.
No, so not originals.
It sounds fascinating.
No, but, you know, Bob knows this, that my wife and I love to travel. Some of the items have been picked up from the travels, others from a dealer we have dealt with in Europe. So, but they're really nice items, and they're not going to break really anybody's bank to acquire these, and they will be beautifully framed, of course, by Mo and his team. Anyway, let's get in now to the Monday Political Face-Off. Bob, midnight tonight, the deadline for voters to register for Tucson's all-male election. Republicans don't really have much of a stake in this. But it is interesting.
Elections.
Perhaps you saw in the Star yesterday, the Star did a poll that in the three-way race for mayor, there's like 35% undecided.
Right.
Steve Farley has really done a comfortable lead. I think it was about 35%.
He does, very strong in the 30s versus Rahina Romero, mm-hmm. who was in the teens, and I think Randy Dornan in single digits. So pretty decisive advantage in the polls.
Randy did get a nice endorsement from the Arizona Daily Star yesterday, and they also, the Star endorsed, did you see who
that was? Ward 1, Sammy Hamed.
They did endorse Sammy.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a four-way race there, so it's going to be a very interesting to see who emerges from the mayor's race. Dave Eppenheimer, who is the current chair of the Pima County Party, Bob Westerman, was on our morning show today, Wake Up Tucson, and he said he was talking about why the Republicans didn't put up a candidate for mayor this time. It's like trying to get like a businessman or somebody that
who's really qualified to be a mayor.
Thank you. Yeah, would really be qualified for them to make the investment in the time, the money, and it's in effect like a suicide run.
Yeah, and it's been getting worse every year because, as you know, character assassination goes on all the time now. And to be somebody who has the qualifications and experience, I think, that needs to be mayor, they're giving up a lot. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Tucson, as long as we have the citywide election on the wards and things, it's never going to change.
Right.
The ability to win that kind of election is a long shot. So that's a lot to put on the table. Mm-hmm. To risk for that, but you know, I still think we need to. Could be somebody out there, I think, that could step up and be the right kind of guy for Tucson. Mm-hmm. That would be attractive, not just Republicans but Democrats. That has the right ideas to get Tucson on the right track and keep them on the right track. I think that person's out there. It's just we haven't found him yet.
Well, Bob Walkup served 3 terms as a Republican.
Yes, he
and
did.
Mr. Eppenheimer was saying the times have certainly changed. I don't know, Don, what are some of your thoughts about that?
Well, I think 2 thoughts. Number one, I think we have some very good candidates, and we've seen that in the number of debates that have been held, and I'm
lots
very pleased
of debates,
with
several dozen.
Right, yeah. From Rotary Tucson Rotary Club to the Democratic Party to other nonpartisan groups have done a tremendous job of getting these candidates out in front of folks to really compare and contrast. And a lot of the focus has been on business development, on supporting small businesses, all the issues that matter to folks across the board, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. And we've also seen that there have been Republican support of at least one of the Democratic candidates, which speaks to that candidate. In this case, it's Steve Farley's ability to reach across and not just focus on Democrats, but a focus on a cross-section of the city. So that speaks very well. The other issue here about Republicans choosing not to run or having trouble finding the candidate. You know, what we see in past elections in all different kinds of races is that a lot of times an individual will run because they believe in something and they mm-hmm. want to get the word out about that, even recognize they may not win that time, or to get the experience and the name identification, the name ID out there. And as long as they are a serious candidate, a good candidate, work hard, that's seen to benefit candidates from either party in all cases. One of the experiences I'll never forget in running years ago and losing because I was a Democrat in a Republican majority district.
I can identify with that.
Is he? Yes.
Yeah, Bob.
And you'll know this, Bob. And I bet you'll say the same thing. When I lost, I got a couple of different questions. The first question was, oh, didn't you run? Yes. Did you win? No. And the third question was this, when are you going to run again?
Huh. Yeah. Well, once you get your name out there.
The fact that you put your hat in the ring gives you that ID, gives you that credibility, gets you out there. And so I think no matter who it is, if you're serious about getting involved in politics, doing and hopefully to do something to improve our community or our state, do it.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Don. That's a good thought. The idea, in any case, when you're out there running for office in an area like in my district I ran in, was, you know, it's like 18% Republicans. It's really tough. You know, why do you do that? But it gives you an opportunity to actually go meet and talk to people, and actually can move the needle a little bit. You get a chance to get the to have some dialogue between, and there's always good dialogue between positions and debates. And there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, like you say, in the case of Tucson, it'd be nice to have a Republican voice in the debates, just to bring up the different positions and issues and let them talk about it and talk. That helps the process. I don't think it hurts the process.
Well, Bob, maybe you should have thrown your...
I don't live in Tucson.
No, that's true, and you're very busy with your other enterprise. Quick comment from Matt, who called us at 790-2040. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Oh, very good. I don't know if you guys have covered it yet, but I was hoping you would talk about the polling done by the Arizona Daily Star on Sunday of the election. And I've got to ask, did anybody find it strange that, you know, when they put the pictures up of the polling, they left Steve Farley out? I just thought that stood out so bad.
I didn't notice that, and we have been talking about the polling. Go ahead.
That's very interesting. I actually looked at it online because I was not in town, and so I didn't see it perhaps the same way it was lined up. That's pretty funny. What I think what was interesting about the polling, though, Matt, and you saw the numbers as well, I know you pay attention to this, is that even though there is perhaps a third or more undecided, it's also likely that this may not be a high turnout election, which means that those folks who respond to polls that are more likely to vote will be the ones that sway this, which again probably gives added weight to that poll.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Also, one of our great sponsors. We were up there, met a friend for breakfast up at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Had a bit of a Kringle yesterday for breakfast. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They put in that hot grill now. They're doing breakfast every morning at 6:30. I decided to go with a couple of eggs over easy, hash browns, an almond croissant. Our friend ordered the blueberry pancakes. I had a sample of that. Very good. And my wife had a pastry from the pastry case. So everybody was pleased, and it was good to see that the place was filled, which is good. Because in the summertime, it's the local people who are supporting, because a lot of the folks who were here for the winter are gone. So that was good. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. And also, you can find a link at BuckmasterShow.com to all of our great partners. We'll be back in a moment with Bob Westerman and Don Jorgensen. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Don Jorgensen, seated to my left. Don, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and seated to my right, Bob Westerman, the former chair of the Pima County Republican Party. We began with local. Let's go national now. The Washington Post, the headline, louder and more hateful. Big city leaders say Donald Trump's attacks on Baltimore over the weekend are an escalation of his strategy to denigrate diverse liberal areas. Don Jorgensen.
That's part of the strategy. If you look at his history of denigrating big cities like Atlanta, San Francisco, Philadelphia, here's Baltimore is another one. And it's all tied into his divisive rhetoric and kind of race baiting or racist type approach, and because he uses the same language, talking about infestations, which is really disgusting language, and it started back hearing his language from Charlottesville. So it's all tied into what seems to be his 2020 strategy, and that's using this divisive rhetoric and race to divide folks, seems like giving aid and comfort to nativists, to nationalists, and to focus on or kind of give another target for the anger of the white kind of rural voters that gave him support last time. He seems to be trying to use this issue to separate voters once again. I don't understand how the Republicans think that can be a winning strategy, but that seems to be the strategy.
What do you think, Bob? As a longtime Republican, well, what are your thoughts about it?
Well, you know, in this particular situation, when Trump unloaded on the congressman
Cummings,
yes, and what he said about the Cummings about, and it really applies to West Baltimore, you know, Sandtown, that kind of area.
Yeah, it's all true. And it is true, a portion of that district is really bad news.
Well, sure. Yeah. Overall, his district is, and I've been to places where it has the same kind of situation. We've got the rich living right next to the poor, but in the case of West Baltimore, the conditions are really bad. There's nothing about what he said wasn't true. It's interesting. You know, in San Francisco, they have a map you can go to. It's called the poop map. You can find out where all the poop is. Well, in Baltimore, they have a map called the rat map, so you can see where all the rats are. So it is rat infested. There's no way denying that. Okay, he's just pointing out because the congressman was talking about the border and what the conditions were there. And I think Donald Trump was just pointing out that hey, you live in a glass house. This is where you live. You need to take care of your situation here. And these conditions are arguably worse than they are at the border. And so that particular statement, I don't see as being racist or being something to be that you could talk to in that way with Donald Trump. But the thing is, anybody will read into that, Bill, and you can take away anything you want. You can expand that what he said to the congressman, like Don has, and said, oh, this is all about white people or something else, or the other parts of race. He didn't even talk about that. Yes, the congressman is a person of color. But that doesn't make it racist. The comment itself was talking about the conditions in his district he needs to pay attention to.
Well, I like Bob, but that's nonsense.
I know that there is a portion of that district because CNN...
A big portion.
Well, there's some really apparently nice areas too, Don Jorgensen.
That's right.
District.
I mean, yeah, he went after Elijah Cummings, who is a person of color, a congressman of color, just like he went after other congressmen of color too and women. And he didn't make distinctions about the district. He talked about him representing a district using all the same negative terms that have been used against... inner city, or even against urban areas, let alone just inner city,
and
areas that are represented by congressmen and women of color. Now,
so making,
he
making
talked
a,
about
making
let
a
me
criticism.
Finish. He talked about the district which actually has a higher average of college graduates, a good average income than many districts, certainly above average. And I'll give you an example, less unemployment there than in Kentucky, which is white rural area, and you're probably familiar with the senator from there. So these, you know, what you're talking about are distinctions without a difference. He was attacking it. If you want to look at some of the areas in that particular district, and he didn't make this distinction, that are owned by perhaps slum landlords, perhaps you go after those slum landlords, starting with Jared Kushner, who is one of the largest owners of these slums there. But here's the other point. He attacked him for not doing enough in his district. Well, you know something? That's Donald Trump's district, too. He represents all the districts of the United States. And what he's also covering up is the fact that his administration has done nothing to help the cities, has done nothing to improve the situations for middle class, particularly for minorities and in these areas.
That's part of the problem. I'm really excited that Congressman Cummings has such a well-off part of his district in such good condition. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't pay attention to the people who really need his help. And there are lots of areas in Baltimore, and you can 52% unemployment. You're talking about house after house vacant, filled with garbage. Has been that way for a while. It is getting worse. So yeah, he can probably sit there and say, "Yeah, look at all the good things that are going on in my district." Doesn't mean a difference if you can't take care of what really needs to be helped, which is the poor people and people of color in his district need help. Now, the other thing is, you know, if you can't criticize somebody of color, if you criticize somebody of color and call that racism, that means that Nancy Pelosi, when she criticized the squad, was racist because she was criticizing people of color, four Congress people. Okay, so she must be four times as racist as Donald Trump. So if you're playing that game, Don, you have to. You have to pick what's true and what's true, and you can
talk
about
that.
Well,
let me ask you what's true. Is it true that there were good people on both sides in Charlottesville? Because that's when Donald Trump started this racist rhetoric and divisiveness. He is at a whole different level when he has this consistent pattern of racism. From the time he denied housing to blacks in New York to the time he's been president and dealing with everything he said about Charlottesville and all these other places and all these other attacks.
The unemployment rate for the African Americans have never been lower. As a matter of fact, the unemployment rate for the Hispanics,
especially at a much lower level.
In recorded history, has never been this low. And even for women, it's like for the last 65 years, it's never been this low. I mean, these are good things happening to the minorities that he's being accused of being racist against. So he's putting together policies that's helping these people. There's no doubt about it. So you're right. His district is the whole United States, and he is helping people in the United States.
Can he win, Bob Westerman, with a rural strategy and basically ignore the big cities?
You know, one of the things interesting debates is who's using the race card to get elected. Is it Donald or is it the Democrats? Because if you look on both sides of the parties, they both seem to be doing some stuff with racism in order to get the attention to get elected.
I think there's very little doubt that the Democrats would not be discussing it at this level if it were not for the president's weekly tweets, if not more sooner, that always focus on issues of race and divisiveness, and that seems clearly to be his strategy going into 2020.
Well, we'll see.
Now,
here's
the difference. For Democrats to win, they can't fall into his trap, and they seem to be by keeping this up, and the Republicans seem to have their spin about talking about it as you have. What is needed, because we know that Donald Trump is incapable of doing this, is that the Democrats, to be successful, have to focus on who and how is going to work on uniting the people, the voters of this country, and the citizens of all areas, urban and rural, versus continuing to try to divide them as Donald Trump has.
Well, you know, it seems like Donald's been the main and only target about racism. You know, they've been going after Donald for anything to get him out, to get him impeached, get him out of there. But interesting coming up this week, the debate's coming up this week, right?
Yes.
So it should be interesting to see how racism comes up in those debates and see how, for instance, how Harris goes after Biden, which would be interesting. But within the party, there'll be some of that. Can they keep from playing the race card within their own ranks? I'll have to see. It may be an interesting drink game to watch the debates and see how often the word race comes up.
Where are the debates? Do you recall where they are?
Detroit.
They're in Detroit. Yeah,
talking about the revival of a city that has massive problems and had massive problems. And they are seeing it's a slow moving one, but it is a renaissance and continued improvement, mm-hmm. which they have done on their own with little or no help from the Trump administration.
Joe has called us. Joe is calling us at 790-2040. Joe, I think we can work your comment in real quickly. Go ahead, sir.
I'll be super quick.
Thanks.
Yeah, the economy is doing okay for some, but as Liz Warren pointed out, 30% of the populace who's on that economic wheel that turns have had they've had their financial stuff handed over to collection agencies. So this thing ain't work. It's not working so good. So.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Gentlemen, comment to Joe.
Well, you know, it's not good that there are people in America that are suffering economically. There's no doubt about it. But we're progressing in the right direction. The wages have gone up, and the unemployment rate has dropped considerably. It's getting to the right people, get the jobs to the right people. That's the hard thing to do, and getting those jobs out there for them to get. And we've lost so many manufacturing jobs, for instance, and that was middle America. And I think some of these 30% he's talking about where people probably had jobs like that, good jobs that paid good money in middle America in manufacturing.
You know, unemployment may be low, but when you're having to work two jobs to keep your middle-class family going and having your spouse work also, that tax cut, the Trump economic plan, is not benefiting all Americans. It's benefiting the wealthy, we know that, but it hasn't hit all Americans, and that's been the problem with this administration.
Median income has gone up in the country. I mean, it has, you're right, as an average, but it still has gone up in the country. So it shows that there is progress being made.
All right, Bob Westerman. Thanks, Bob. Good to see you.
You too.
Don Jorgensen, good to see you. Joining us from Seattle, coming back after spending what they're saying up in the Northwest after a couple of really anomalies of lots of smoke and fires. This is more of somewhat of a normal, cool Northwest summer, which is great
news.
And
I'm hoping to enjoy some of the monsoons here this week.
Well, that's a different issue, man. They have not shown up. Bob, you've been in town a long time. I've been here 31 years. This is really, talk about an anomaly.
We've had a couple of good monsoons, as you know. But
two rains at our place, duration 30, 35 minutes. That's it for the rainy season. Maybe tomorrow.
But they say this week we're going to get some rain.
I hope so. Anyway, that's it for the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Ask Moe about the Buckmaster collection of beautiful old prints and maps, which will be coming soon on their website. You'll be able to check it out, moesgallery.com. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-888. 6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send a lot of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, kind of the southwest corner over there. It's only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. And this time of year when we're pushing, man, 10, like this weekend, really hot, 105 to 108, I would venture to say if you were in Silver City, it was at least 10 degrees cooler because of their mile-high elevation of 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So that's what would make up for that temperature difference. But there's so much to do over there, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. SouthwestNewMexico.org is a good starting place. That's their website. We're going to talk about the zoo. So many exciting things. Big changes are underway at Tucson's Reed Park Zoo in the wake of the approval by the Tucson voters. And they approved, the voters approved in a very overwhelming fashion in November of 2017, this ballot initiative that increased the city tax by 0.1% for the next 10 years. The measure is expected to generate millions of dollars to upgrade the zoo's aging infrastructure and build new interactive exhibits. With me in studio, Sue Tykelski.
Very good. That's right.
Sue Tykelski, the director of zoo operations, and Sue has been with the zoo for about 10 years. This is probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but probably the most exciting time of your tenure there at the zoo.
Absolutely.
Your 10-year tenure.
That's right. It's it's thrilling to work at the zoo, but it's so rare to have an opportunity to do so many improvements just because funding is for every zoo always an issue and a concern, and we always have to save a little bit of an emergency fund. Mm-hmm. And so often you can't do the things that you might dream of, but I feel like Reed Park, we can. We can because those voters were behind us.
Let's be brought up to date on what's been going on since that voter approval. What are some of the items that have already been, are being looked after?
Sure. So in the past year, I feel like we've gotten quite a bit done. A lot of it, I have to say, isn't the glamorous stuff.
Right.
So our sidewalks were crumbling. We've done a lot of repairs there. Our guardrails that protect the visitors from the animals, many of those were replaced. So those aren't the fun things that anyone wants to spend money on,
but it's
necessary.
As I said, aging infrastructure.
Correct.
Items, which were getting attention
right
away. Some of that material had probably been there for many years, right?
Right. Yeah. And we had a hard time keeping up with maintenance. And so we have those things done. But then things that are a little more exciting that directly relate to the animals, mm-hmm, are tigers and lions. Andy and Bear had new glass viewing windows. Mm-hmm. So again, our windows, while they were strong enough, many of them were foggy or scratched, mm-hmm, and we just didn't have the funding to replace them. So mm-hmm, we've had those replacements, as well as areas that we had older mesh for containing tigers, lions, bears. We've replaced that. So some of those very necessary and important things to keep our zoo going, as well as our veterinarian was part-time.
Oh, really?
And so
we
have,
I didn't realize that.
And we have a rather large collection.
Sure.
So she is now full-time, and that's made a dramatic difference in terms of preventative care for our animals.
Mm-hmm.
So things where she was at the zoo previously 2 half-days a week and then always on call. So she was part-time to some degree, but we called her in.
You called her in to make it full-time anyway.
Right. So now she's really full-time, and we've just, I think, been able to do so much more for the animals in terms of annual physicals.
You have a large collection that requires medical services.
And when she does do a physical for a larger animal, like a bear or a lion, that's a half-day procedure, and then the cleanup behind it. And so prior, if she did that, that was one half-day shot with no other animals looked after. So we're able to do a lot more in terms of preventative. As well as there are things that we're finding out now, like many of our animals have allergy testing.
Oh, really?
So just like humans, sure. And we find out, oh, we really need to exclude apples from this animal's diet. So again, those are things that before we didn't necessarily have the luxury of time, where now we do.
And the animals, I guess they're probably like humans in that they probably need kind of a physical every year.
They do. And so they're on different schedules. So some of them, as they're older, they may have more frequent checks, maybe not full immobilizations where they're sedated. And others, like our elephant herd, they have blood draws and checks, some of them weekly.
Really?
There are other animals in the collection that have quarterly, so certain birds that might be quarterly, and then others that are annual. So some of it depends on the age of the animal and then its overall health. For example, our male lion, Shambé, has some kidney issues, and so he has receives voluntary fluids. So he's trained to lay down and have fluids put into him a couple times a week. So he's an animal that receives much more vet attention just because of his condition.
Overall, what is the collection? What are the numbers right now?
So we have 350 animals. Now, many of those are cave roaches, I will be honest, so that helps bump our numbers up. We represent over 90 different species.
What's your footprint? How large a facility?
We are a 24-acre zoo. And so for a zoo of our size, I think the thing that makes us truly unique is that we have so many of the large mammals. So you can see at our zoo, African elephants, giraffe, brown bears, rhinoceros, many of the big cats all in one small-ish footprint. And so that's an exciting opportunity. And because we are small, our habitats are arranged so the visitors are relatively close to the animals. So many of the larger zoos that you go to in bigger cities, the animals feel really far away. Where our African elephant exhibit, the pool for the elephants is about 10 to 12 feet right away from the visitors. So when the animals get in, they truly are close.
How is the baby elephant doing?
That baby is soon to be celebrating her 5th birthday in August. So she's over 3,000 pounds. So she's maybe not quite a baby anymore. But sometimes she still acts like it. So on occasion, she still has temper tantrums with her family.
Do we have an elephant that is pregnant?
We do. So her mom is pregnant and due in the spring. So March, April, you know, you may remember the elephant gestation is 22 to 24 months.
I recall
so
that.
It's a very wide window.
I think it may be the longest gestation period. Maybe whales are longer. I don't know.
But for land animals, she wins. And so the birth window is rather wide. It's, you know, about an 8-week window. So next spring, we will be monitoring her closely. Currently, she's getting some extra physicals from our vet, as well as weights very frequently, just so she doesn't put on too much weight too quickly.
Dave has called us at 790-2040. He would like to speak with Zoo Operations Director over at Reed Park, Sue Tykelski. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi. It's been some time, probably before your time, I'm almost certain. We had a whole bunch of sun bears, a dozen or so, and I don't know where they went. And I actually haven't seen a sun bear in the zoos that I visited in the last 10 years.
Good question.
That is a great question. So We are part of an AZA, so the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, and together there are over 200 zoos that are in that organization. We manage animal populations as a larger unit. So collectively, we get together and decide which species we can be most impactful with, which zoos are best qualified and have space and the finances to breed which species. And sun bears were actually a species that there was not enough genetic diversity remaining in the captive population. And so you're right, they are phasing out of zoos.
Mm. John, when you get a chance, pull up on my screen a picture of a sun bear for me. Can you describe the sun bear?
So sun bears are a little smaller species of bear, and they have a long, delicate snout.
Mm-hmm.
And they often are found with a sort of a necklace around their, a necklace of tan around their
ooh,
neck.
Good looking animal.
Very long claws.
Oh.
And we did have a sun bear pass away at our zoo quite a few years ago, Dracaena, and she was one of the oldest sun bears held in captivity. She actually, oddly enough, had a condition that she could not be out in the sun. So she was held at our zoo for many years after she had been on exhibit where guests could see her. She spent most of her time behind the scenes.
Hmm. And they're from Malaysia, I guess.
Yes. Hmm. So we, as we expand our Asia section of the zoo, we are going to incorporate another bear. It won't be the sun bear, primarily because there's not a source, but we're going to bring sloth bears to the Reed Park Zoo, which are also, if you think of Baloo, the famous, that's where he is created after a sloth bear. And unlike the sun bear, they're a little bit larger of a bear, and their faces, they have long, long hair. Also that long snout, long tongue, really long nails. So they're kind of an interesting species.
When we come back, Sue, we're going to take our break right here, but we've got so much more to go over with you. The flamingo exhibit, the flamingo habitat will be moving to the front of the zoo.
Correct.
That's very good. Put on those beautiful animals will be kind of a centerpiece, right, as you kind of walk
in. Correct. They will. A brilliantly colored one.
Yeah, very good. And you kind of mentioned the Asia expansion, but we've got lots more to talk about, including what's going on really with kind of the long-term picture at the Reed Park Zoo. Take our break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. You're on 1030 The Voice, your source for trusted news talk. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Additional support for our program comes from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site. Of course, they've got everything you need for the garden, but what's exciting in addition is the Zocalo Village, five shops devoted to all that great merchandise. Much of it's handmade from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. A lot of folks remember Zocalo from when they had the shop over there at Broadway and Country Club. Well, now they're part of the Green Things family, so it makes a real nice outing when you go to get your plants. You can check out all the great merchandise from Zocalo. It's greenthingsaz.com. We're talking with Sue Tykelski, the zoo director at the Reed Park Zoo. Sue, when did Reed Park, when was that? Was it 1950 that the zoo began, or is it older than that?
It is not older than that. We just celebrated over 50 years. The beginnings are, it started in 68. However, it started in phases. So
like a petting zoo,
yeah. And prairie dogs, and eventually a young elephant as part of the petting zoo, if you can imagine.
Wow.
That.
Oh.
Times have changed a little bit. We don't operate quite the same way now.
And I know zoos are, Reed Park is part of this whole accreditation process. It has to meet certain criteria. And I think you guys do a really good job there of making sure that the animals are safe, that they're well cared for, correct?
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Association of Zoos and Aquariums comes and does an inspection every 5 years, and it's really intense, but it's great. And it's something that we want to not pass the inspection. We want to be stellar on it. And it's about providing extreme, awesome wellness for our animals, as well as safety for our guests, and a great learning opportunity for our guests.
The collection, as you mentioned during the first segment, 350 animals on a 24-acre site. Of course, all these great improvements are going to be coming along thanks to the people of Tucson, who said, and I'm glad they did, overwhelmingly, they want 0.1% of sales tax for the next 10 years going to improvements for zoo. In the end, what's going to be done over that 10-year period that you're most excited about, Sue?
Well, I think it's all exciting.
The whole package.
We have a couple things happening pretty quickly. As you mentioned, our flamingo flock.
Mm-hmm.
So currently they're at the back of the zoo, and their habitat is leaking and the filter on their pond doesn't work. So they will be moving up to the front entry and have all the features of their habitat to really make an awesome breeding place for them. So we have been successful breeding flamingos, and we want to continue that. So they will have more space, be up front, and then some cool interpretive things for the kids to interact with as they enter the zoo. We also have a playground that will be where the flamingos currently are.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be very challenging for kids of all sizes. Mm-hmm. But what I'm excited about, not only will the kids have an opportunity to play, but surrounding that area, the ambassador animals who go to schools and do programs will have new homes around the playground. And then our front entry will have some upgrades as well to make it a little cooler and more guest friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the most exciting thing, but it's a couple mm-hmm. years down the road, mm-hmm. is the Asia expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So adding a better, bigger space for our Malayan tigers, adding sloth bear, red panda, siamang, an interactive aviary, and a reptile building. So quite a few different species to add, and starting fresh, you know, renovating and repairing is necessary, but it's not as much fun as is starting from scratch, where you can really build your dreams.
This has been a kind of a brutal summer. We haven't really had the rains to cool things off. I'm sure it's a challenge for you and your team at the zoo.
It is. And I think the animals are doing well because their keepers sweat through it. So animals have, some of them have air conditioning. Some have coolers, misters, popsicles, cool pools. But the zookeepers don't have a choice. They need to go out and clean and care for the animals no matter what the temperature. So they've done an amazing, amazing job, as well as our grounds team. You know, when we do get the winds that come through, tree limbs break, those need to be tended to. So our whole team has, August gets to be a little difficult. Everyone gets a little grumpier.
isn't there a big exhibit that's opening soon or just did it open? Was that the monkeys or what?
So our the Temple of Tiny Monkeys. It's a tiny monkeys in a pretty good size exhibit. And they are they've been a delight. So there's four little monkeys, three girls and a boy. And
where are they from? What part of the world are these little monkeys?
So they are South American monkeys. And think tropics, think in a tropical forest. They spend most of their time up in the trees gathering fruits and insects. Rarely seen on the ground. However, here at our zoo, you can see them all over. So they will comfortably wander around on the ground. And some of it is they don't have a predator to worry about, right?
Sure.
So their zookeepers can hide treats anywhere for them. And I think the visitors have really enjoyed them because they're active. They are busy, busy, busy. If we had half the energy they had, Bill, we'd be getting so much more done. So they rarely nap during the day. Pretty much even in the heat of the day, they go in their cool area. Their indoor habitat, and they're constantly either working a puzzle feeder or grooming one another or sometimes chasing one another. So very interactive.
Have your zebras bred?
Well,
did they get together?
They did. So now there's no easy zebra pregnancy test, so we can't give you any results. But they did, they were together. And currently what we're doing now is getting them together with the ostrich. So our goal is to have the two zebra, the two ostrich living in one habitat. And so each zebra has met the two ostrich, but we haven't put all four together. So we're currently in progress. For the most part, they should all get along, but sometimes individual animals have individual likes and dislikes. So we like to do things in a stepwise progression so that they can gradually get to know one another.
What is the most popular exhibit, Sue, at the Reed Park Zoo? Is it the Africa?
Wow, you're putting me on the spot. There's not any one particular animal. Everyone comes for a different thing. I will say the elephants do have the largest space of the zoo, and therefore
deservedly so, right?
The male bull is about a 13,000-pound animal. They just recently had their 98,000-gallon pool cleaned last week, and so it's shimmering and wonderful. Their favorite activity of the day.
You can't just call your neighborhood pool cleaner to come out and
do
that.
We tried. It doesn't work. So their favorite activity on these hot days is they go in the mud wallow to cool off. Mud acts as sunscreen, insect repellent. But then when you need to be even cooler, you go get in the pool, and all the mud comes off of you in the pool. So then you got to get out and go to the dirt hill and put the dirt back on. And it's this cycle of putting dirt and mud on themselves and then getting in the pool that we just watch the pool getting dirtier and dirtier. But it's not only is it good for their skin, it's also a good social time. So the animals, when they're playing in the mud, they'll wrap their trunks around each other and wrestle, and that helps strengthen their family bonds.
It was sad a couple of weeks ago we lost the big cat?
Yes, Simone, our 23-year-old Jaguar.
Wow.
And she...
Had she been with the zoo that long?
She came to the zoo when she was about 6 months.
Wow.
So she lived a good long life, and in the end, she lived relatively healthily until the last little bit. I will say she was on quite a few different medications and supplements to keep her going. And of course, we noticed that she was less Simone-like in the end, so places that she would jump to and lay on in her last week.
Well, it's kind of like with our own wonderful companion animals.
Right.
You kind of feel like when it's time, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. she um, She definitely was a favorite. She was a hard one for our staff, for sure.
I bet. Sue, what would you like to tell our listeners about some upcoming activities? I've only got about a minute.
Go ahead. Well, I want to remind them that we still have Summer Safari Nights going on for the next three Saturday nights to come out to the zoo between 6 and 8, because it is a wee bit cooler and the animals are more active. And then definitely to be checking our website. We have lots of family programs that are listed up there. And to just be checking in with us, we have so many changes happening month to month, new improvements, that we really want people to come out and watch us change and grow.
And the price point for membership is very reasonable.
It is. So for a single membership for a year, $37. For a family, $80. Mm-hmm. And if you're visiting just for the day, $10.50 for adults, $6.50 for kids.
Mm-hmm. So it's very exciting things, Sue, going on at our Reed Park Zoo, all these improvements happening. So I'm very happy for you that things are going well. And you didn't start out as a kid. You're from the Chicago area like I am. You didn't really think you'd be zoo operations director, did you?
No, but here we are. And Bill, on Saturday is National Watermelon Day.
Ooh.
So come out to the zoo and watch the animals get watermelons.
Ooh,
if
that'd
you're free.
Be very good. I may have a little bit of the watermelon myself before it's fed to the animals. Thanks, Sue, very much. Good
Thank
luck
you.
At Reed Park Zoo. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of John Couch, my fine engineer producer today. We had a lot of fun talking about animals, and before that, politics. That's a combination for you. Have a great afternoon.